the mowing roster. We need at least 4 men to make up for Brother Hemi. And that's a fact. He graduated to heaven this past week, as you know, and had a wonderful remembrance of his life on Friday. But we're going to miss him. And my message this morning is in his honor. So in Psalm 84, look at verse 10 if you would. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So I've entitled the message, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege to be here on a Sunday morning, to open your word, and to hear from you. May the Holy Ghost take your word and apply it to our lives and teach and grow us. Lord, whatever the needs might be, we know that you're a miracle-working God and you can meet those needs. May your will be done. May Jesus Christ be magnified in this service. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. Whenever I think of Psalm 84:10, I think of Brother Hemi, because he did not like the limelight, but he loved the Lord. And he just wanted to serve Jesus. He didn't care who saw, who knew. He was just one of those Christians that just did it because they loved Jesus. And David here is reflecting his own love for the house of the Lord. And he starts off by saying there in verse 10, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. He'd rather spend one day in God's courts than 1,000 days somewhere else. And you know, this is the attitude that all of us should have as Christians, that we love going to church. We love being around God's people because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all a family. And you know, the Bible tells us, 1 John chapter 3, we know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. One of the first evidences of salvation, if you will, is a person's instant love for other Christians. And then another thing, of course, is their instant desire to see their family hear about Jesus as well, their unsaved family. But God gives you that love because the Holy Spirit has moved in, and now you have that bond in Jesus Christ. And David had that, and he said, I would love just to be in the courts of the Lord. Unfortunately, we can't be here all day every day because we have to go work our jobs, and there's life gets in the way. But he'd rather be in the courts of the Lord than spend 1,000 days somewhere else, because he knew, if you go to Psalm 92, that the house of the Lord is the place where he would flourish. And this is true for any Christian. You know, in our WANA clubs for the young people that we collect and bring in on Tuesdays, we teach them, most of them have gotten saved, and we teach them, if you'll just do 4 things, you'll grow properly in the Lord. And I know there's more to it than that, but we would just want them to get those 4 things in their heads. And they've got them. They've got them memorized. And we just say, if you'll pray every day, if you'll read the Bible every day, if you'll witness, and if you go to church, you'll grow. Just so, if you just focus on those. And if you notice here in Psalm 92:13, the Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Why is church so important? Because God is the one who set it up. God is the one that said we should assemble. God is the one that told us in Hebrews 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God decided that we needed this. We needed the preaching and teaching of His Word, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10:17. We need church. If you go to Psalm 100, and verse 4, I'll show you another of David's attitudes toward the house of the Lord. He says, Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know, a lot of times Christians don't get as much out of church as they thought they would because they don't come to church with the right attitude. David says, enter with thanksgiving. Enter with praise. Enter with this attitude that I'm here to praise the Lord. I'm here to hear from God's Word. I'm here because I want to hear from God today, but I also want to praise God today. And that should be our attitude. A lot of Christians come with the attitude, what can I get? rather than what can I give? And David had this attitude that I'm coming to give. I would rather just be in the courts. And if you go back to our passage, this is the passage that I think of when I think of Brother Hemi. He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Brother Hemi never wanted to be in the light. But like I said at the funeral, our alarm system rings on my phone when somebody disarms it. And every Sunday morning about 8:45, an hour and a quarter before Sunday school, my phone would ding and I'd say to my wife, there's Mr. Hemi. Setting out the cups for the cup of tea, making sure all the heaters are on in the wintertime. Did anybody ask him to do that? No. He just wanted to serve Jesus. He didn't care if it was a doorkeeper, which, you know, a doorkeeper would have probably been a fairly lowly position as positions go in the house of the Lord. But whoever wrote this said, I don't care. I just want to serve the Lord. And if I'm just a doorkeeper, that's fine with me. You know, being a doorkeeper might even be kind of considered by some to be kind of a boring job, but he loved it. And when we started the Tear-On ministry in February, who was there every Sunday to load up the van with the flag and the hymnals and everything and the cup of tea stuff? Who unloaded it? Who served the cup of tea? We never asked Brother Hemi to do any of those things. He just said, I want to be there. And that's the attitude I believe that God wants us to all have. If you go to Psalm 27, I just want to show you some more of David's attitude about the house of the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 4. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know, in Psalm 122, verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go together into the house of the Lord. And the writer of Psalm 84 said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Now, I understand that this building is not God's church. And you understand that too. That the church is the people. If we had church this morning and nobody showed up, I wouldn't preach because I'd have nobody to preach to. And there wouldn't be a church. This is just a building. You know, we could meet out in the grass and we'd still have church. Amen. We'd still be the house of the Lord because it's us. We are the house of the Lord. And so make sure you understand that this morning. But this is an important truth that God, if you go to 1 Timothy 3:15, God assigned the house of God as the place that he called the pillar and ground of the truth. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, in verse 15. Very important verse. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, one of his preacher boys, who is now a pastor. He's teaching him about the ministry in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Titus, both of these preachers. And notice what he says in verse 15. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Look at this last phrase. The pillar and ground of the truth. No other organism in Scripture is referred to with this kind of power. The pillar and ground of the truth. And I know you've heard me say this before, but that's where God wants us to go to get the truth. Is to the house of the Lord. It doesn't say the internet. Amen? And there's plenty of internet preachers out there. And some of them are great. We even have a YouTube channel ourselves now. But that isn't the point. If there's a place where we can assemble, or if there's a place where we can go and encourage and exhort and admonish and love our brothers and sisters in Christ, then that's the place where God wants us to go. And if all we can be is the doorkeeper, then so be it. But let's get busy and serve God somehow in His local church. Because that's another reason why we go, is it gives us a place to serve. And when we serve, we grow. And that was the kind of man Mr. Hemi was. He says, I just want to serve Jesus. If the doors are open, I'll be there. If somebody just needs somebody to take the rubbish bins to the street every Sunday night, then that's what I'll do, and that's what he did. I'll just be the doorkeeper. And, you know, this is the house of the Lord when we gather together. This is the place where God assigned for us to get the truth. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. If you go to Acts 20, verse 28, the Bible talks here about the Apostle Paul encouraging these elders at Ephesus, these pastors at Ephesus who he was about to leave behind. He'd been teaching them and preparing them to start pastoring the church there. And notice what he told them here in Acts chapter 20. And down in verse 27, he says, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So he started off by saying, I have taught you all of the counsel of God. And one of the reasons why we go to church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, not many churches do that anymore. Matter of fact, a lot of Christians look at us like we're crazy. You mean you go to church four times a week? What's wrong with you people? Why do we do that? Because Jesus commanded the church to teach all the counsel of God. Even in the Great Commission, what did he say in Matthew 28? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's a lot of teaching. And so that's going to take more than one meal a week of God's Word. And so he says, I personally, I've been here at Ephesus now for 3 years. I've been teaching you all the counsel of God. Verse 28, he goes on to say, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He said, my number one mission to you pastors here at Ephesus, feed the flock. Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter. He said, I'm an elder. I'm writing to you elders. Here's the first thing I want to tell you. Feed the flock. Feed them what? There's only one thing to feed the flock, and that's this. God's Word. Where does that happen? When the house of God assembles. That was God's plan. And the writer here said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper and the house of my God, if you go back to our passage, he says, then to dwell in the tents of wickedness. How sad is it that there are Christians who would prefer the world over church? But it's true. If every person that had been saved through this ministry, who lives in Rotorua, was here this morning, we couldn't fit. That's the facts. But that would be true for any church that preaches the gospel. Where is everybody? They would rather dwell in the tents of wickedness. The world has become important to them, and church isn't important. And this is what happens. How sad can that be? Even though the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, in Romans 12, even though the Bible says, keep ourselves unspotted from the world, in James chapter 1, even though in James 4 it says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God, how many Christians are friends with the world? And on Sunday morning would rather spend time in the world than time with God's people. But for us, it should not be so. If we love Jesus, then we love Jesus' people. Amen? If you go to 1 John chapter 5, I want to show you that. 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says it's a natural thing for God's people to love God's people. Matter of fact, Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. He didn't say by these many things, he said by this one thing. John 13:35, people are going to know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Notice here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Praise God. Hopefully everyone in this room could say there's been a time in my life where I believed on Jesus Christ and I was born again. I'm now one of His children. I was born of God. But look at the rest of the verse. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. So it says everyone who loves God, the one who begat us into the new family of God, everyone who loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also. It's a natural thing that He will also love everyone else that was begotten of Him. Because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we love God, then we're naturally going to want to spend time with God's people. Because the same Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. And that's a bond that the world can't understand. Amen? That we are a family. And so it's okay to call people brother and sister because we are. And God is our Father. And we are His children. So back to our passage. Every Christian really has a choice to make. And they just need to make the choice early in their Christian lives. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. It's more important to me to be with God's people than it is to be with the world's people. And if you just decide that early in your Christian life and say, you know what, if church is going, I'm there. Unless I'm sick or dead, I'm there. And then you don't have to wonder every Sunday, well, are we going to go to church today? You already decided that years ago. It's settled. Because God goes on to say in verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. These amazing gifts, these amazing blessings of God's grace are much better than what the tents of wickedness can offer. Amen. And trust me, the devil makes it attractive, the world and worldliness. He uses the word sun there, with the sun as the source of life on this earth. He uses the word shield. Shield, God is our protector. So He's the giver of life. He's our protector. God says, I'm all of these things for you. And He goes on to say, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You see, that's the thing about the New Testament and Christianity in the local church is we don't live under the law. That was nailed to the cross, as we read in Colossians chapter 2. So, why should we go to church then? We should go to church because we love Jesus. But see, if our attitude is, oh, well, I don't have to go because I'm not bound by the law. I don't have to go to the house of the Lord anymore. We got a problem in our hearts, you see. It's the same with tithing. I hear people say, oh, tithing is just for Old Testament. Every time somebody says that to me, I say, you know what, I'm not going to argue that with you. But if that's true, the Bible says that grace much more abounded than the law. So we should definitely be giving more than 10% then. So praise God. Give more than 10%. It's kind of hard to argue with that one, huh? Instead of going into a big argument about the law. But we aren't commanded. If you go to 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul said, I have liberty in Christ. And we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God's given us what's called a free will. I think we all know what that is, because we all freely and willfully sin on a regular basis and wish we didn't. But notice 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. A person could sit back and say, you know what? I don't have to go to church to serve God. I don't have to go to church to love God. And that is very true. You do not have to go to church to serve God, and you do not have to go to church to love God. That's true. And Paul says, all things are lawful. He says, I'm under grace now. He says, but all things are not expedient. In other words, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to go beyond because I love the Lord. And yeah, a person can go to the judgment seat and say, you know what, Lord, I didn't have to go to church. Are we going to try that at the judgment seat? Probably not. Church is God's idea, not man's. A lot of people think man came up with it. No, God commanded it. God said, I want you to assemble. And as a matter of fact, if you read the book of Acts, it looks like there in the early days of the church, they actually assembled every day. Maybe we should try that. If we didn't have jobs, maybe we could get away with it, eh, Howard? But they did. If you go to Acts chapter 5, I'll show you. Now, this is a verse people often use to talk about soul winning. But it also teaches us something about how often they met. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 42. What's it say? And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So in the early days of the church there in Jerusalem, they were having church every day. Did everybody go every day? Well, people did have jobs then too, so they probably couldn't. But they said, we gotta teach people every chance we get. We gotta teach them about Jesus. We gotta teach them the Word of God. We have a lot of information to get across to God's people, so we're gonna have to just teach every day, just to get everybody covered. And sometimes the services would go quite long. I mean, read about the Apostle Paul preaching so long that the man fell asleep and fell out of the loft and died. I guess you could preach a sermon on that out of Don't Fall Asleep in Church. Because that man fell asleep and fell and broke his neck. But Paul healed him and brought him back to life. The point is, if you read that passage, the Bible says it was after midnight when it happened. So I'd say that was a pretty long church service. It went till after midnight. And people complain when church goes for longer than 30 minutes. The point is, it's about our attitude. And we see in this passage here, this attitude about God's assembly, about God's people, about God's body coming together around God's word. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. This is the attitude we need to have. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I don't care if I'm just the guy that cleans the toilets. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And if there was ever a man that displayed that attitude, it was Brother Hemi. Going to miss him. We need some people to stand up and say, I'm going to take his place. I mean, here we got to have a roster just to fill in his gaps. And it's true. We're going to have a roster because he mowed every week. The guys at his work that he could still run circles around in his 70s would often say, you know, you need to unretire again. Do you know how many times he unretired and retired? Was it 3 or 4? Three times. Three times he retired and then unretired. And they kept asking him to come back. And then this last time, he retired about 3 years ago, they kept saying, you should come back. Yeah, you're 78 years old, but that's okay. You can still climb the towers. And you know what he told him? He says, I can't come back. I have a job now. They said, what's your job? I mow the church's grass. He was serious. I can't come back. I got to take care of the church's lawns. I got to keep breaking the mower so Brother Doug has to fix it. You know what? That's a good attitude, isn't it? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.